Now, the problem. Overcommitment on Pericles' part is going to cost the Athenians dearly. And this ties in with my comment before that during this so-called First Peloponnesian War, the Delian League became an empire. In probably 457, Pericles embroiled the people of Athens in a campaign in Egypt. Egypt at the time was rebelling from the great king Artaxerxes, and if his rebellion was successful, Athens would gain a rich and powerful ally. The Athenians, of course, would reward it for its assistance. Unfortunately, the reverse happened. The Athenians were completely defeated in Egypt in 454. But Pericles is a clever strategist. He's a good talker. Pericles was able to turn that defeat to Athens' advantage. Because what he now said was that the Persians were likely to sail into the Aegean seeking revenge for Athens supporting the Egyptians. And if the Persians did that, they would probably target Delos, headquarters of the Delian League. Therefore, because we don't want to lose the money, said Pericles, we should transfer the treasury from Delos to Athens. And that's exactly what the Athenians did. And that meant that the treasury of the Delian League was now on the Acropolis and directly under Athenian control. This transfer in 454 of the Delian League treasury was a turning point in the development of league into empire. Because the Athenians now illegally began to use a portion of the allied tribute for their own ends. For example, allied tribute was now used to pay for state officials and to fund a building program. And this building program included the rebuilding of the Parthenon and the building of the Propylaea, this monumental gateway to the Acropolis. It's very interesting, as I said last time, that Thucydides, who writes a lot about the rise of Athenian imperialism, has nothing to say about the transfer of the league treasury. We don't know why, but he just admits it. Then in 451, Cimon's 10-year exile, remember he was exiled in 461, that came to an end and he returned to Athens. Now Pericles by now in 451 was kingpin in Athens, and Cimon realized he could never replace him, and so he was content to play second fiddle. Cimon negotiated a 5-year truce with Sparta in 451, but then unfortunately he was killed in a campaign in Cyprus in 450. Now this is also the year, I personally favor 449. This is the time that one event occurred that marked the actual emergence, if you like, of the empire, that marked the end of the league and the empire itself. And that was the Peace of Callias. And it was named this after the Athenian diplomat, Cimon's brother-in-law actually, who engineered the treaty. It brought to an end hostilities between Persia and Greece. The Athenians promised that they wouldn't involve themselves in Persian affairs ever again. And in return, the Persians promised to stay out of Greece. So, in 449 then, the anti-Persian mandate of the Delian League had been fulfilled. Technically, we could argue the League could now be disbanded. But the Athenians kept the League in existence by force, with themselves as its hegemon, and they adopted a very different attitude to their allies now. After 445, for example, the Athenians referred to their allies not as allies anymore, but as cities subject to Athenian rule. Wow, that speaks volumes. The empire has come into being. The year 445 was also important because it was when Athens and Sparta made peace in the First Peloponnesian War. This peace was called the 30 Years Peace. The treaty ended hostilities because all of a sudden the Athenians found themselves hard-pressed on many fronts and a great deal of their power collapsed, so they had no choice but to make peace. They'd lost a substantial number of men and 200 ships in Egypt. Earlier in 456, Euboea had revolted from the League, And to make matters worse, Megara followed suit. Megara revolted and became a member of the Peloponnesian League. And then finally, the Thebans undid all of the Athenian successes in Boeotia. In fact, Thebes now established itself as hegemon of a Boeotian League.